Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Guys, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the gift of faith. We thank you, Father, that you grow us in this faith. We thank you, Father, that you provide for us good works to do as we live out this faith, and that these works are truly good because they were ordained by you. They were established by you before time began, and you've provided everything that we need, even though at times when we approach these good works that you've established for us, we might doubt, we might wonder, but the truth is you provided everything that's needed for your good works to happen. And so, Father, grow in us the faith, grow in us the desire to walk with you. Father, grow in us the desire to seek after you and to seek after those things that you seek after. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to be part of something so much bigger than ourselves. This is kind of how you wired us to be, to want to be part of something bigger than us. And there's nothing bigger than us than you. And so we thank you, Father, for bringing us into that relationship with you and for the privilege of doing your work in this place. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory. And all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. Guys, our sermon text for this weekend is John chapter 1, verse 38. Let me read it for us again. It says, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, and now, and remember, who are these them? These them are those two disciples of John the Baptist. And I think it's important for us to remember that the majority of Jesus' disciples were people who were already saved. They were people who were already in what we would call the church. And I think that's really important for us to remember. Because every once in a while, you're going to hear somebody in a church say, well, yeah, we added 40 people to church last year, but you know, 38 out of those 40 were already Christians. In fact, a lot of them were already Lutherans. All we did was transfer them. You know, the next time you hear that, please inform them, that's wonderful that we're being just like Jesus. Because almost all of his disciples were people who were already saved also. So we're just walking in the footsteps of our Savior when we do that. Amen? Amen. That's wonderful. Jesus turned and saw them, those two disciples of John the Baptist, following and said to them, get at the back of the bus, I only take new... No, he didn't say that. What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabboni, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? You know, I think it's so interesting as we look at our sermon titled, What Are You Seeking? I think it's so interesting to look at the answer of those two men. Because I would submit to you that the small g God of our era is time. Would you agree with me? I mean, I think money is important to a lot of us. I think health is important to a lot of us. I think relationships are important to a lot of us. A lot of good stuff in life. But I would submit to you that the small g God of our time is time. And so it's interesting to me that what is it that disciples want to give to Jesus but their time, right? Jesus says to them, what are you seeking? And they respond, where are you staying? Now, they could have responded in so many different ways. They could have said, you know, Jesus, I'm so glad you asked because really your sermons are kind of long. What I'd like are shorter sermons. Disciples don't say that, right? No, they want to stay with Jesus. Now, why is it that Jesus asked this question, what are you seeking? Doesn't he already know? I mean, he's God, so he's omniscient. Well, of course he already knows. So why is Jesus asking? Jesus is asking simply because he wants to draw out from these disciples the right answer. And that was Jesus' preferred teaching method. If you look closely through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus over and over and over again ask questions. Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants to draw out from us the correct answer. What are you seeking? I want to encourage you to just to think about that for a little bit. Because I think in all of our lives, there are things that we seek after. There are things that we seek after in relationships and in finances and all these different parts of our lives. And I think, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, that it's challenging at times to continue to seek after better things. Because in our lives, we get hurt. In our lives, we get disappointed by other people. Talk to somebody who's been through a divorce. Talk to somebody who's been fired. Talk to somebody who's lost a loved one to a disease. And so as we go through life, it can become challenging to continue to seek, to continue to look to God, to trust in God, to ask God for blessings and for guidance. And if you're in that situation today, or if you know somebody who's in that situation today, then I want to encourage you to listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah again. That was in our first reading. Because the prophet Isaiah was certainly a godly person. The prophet Isaiah was certainly somebody who sought after God's face and God's will. The prophet Isaiah was certainly somebody who made amazing sacrifices for the purpose of God's kingdom. And yet, we heard in the reading for today that the prophet Isaiah says that I have spent, listen to these words, from Isaiah 49, verse 4, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing. In other words, it's come to nothing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it can be very tough. It can be very challenging to seek after the things that God wants us to seek for, especially in the spiritual realm, especially when we're trying to grow ourselves spiritually, when we're trying to grow a spouse spiritually, when we're trying to grow children spiritually, when we serve in a church, we're trying to help other people grow spiritually. It's very, very challenging at times. There was a minor preacher. His first name was Martin. Lived about 500 years ago. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Last name started with an L. He's not the hero of the story. He was an instrument of the hero of the story. Martin Luther, right? I don't know how many of you know this, but you know, Martin Luther stopped preaching for about 7 months. Did you know that? Martin Luther got tired. He got tired of preaching to his congregation, of baptized, save people on their way to heaven. And why did Martin Luther get tired? Because as he looked out in those pews, he saw people who were not changing. And it broke his spirit. It crushed him. He took it very personally. And he said to the congregation, apparently God's word has no effect on you. And so I'm going to stop preaching God's word to you because you don't pay any attention to it. It means nothing to you, apparently. And so he stopped preaching for 7 months. He didn't just take that weekend off. He stopped preaching for 7 months. He still came. He still did the liturgy. He still gave the sacraments. He still did weddings and funerals. He still catechized. He still did all those other things, but he stopped preaching for 7 months. And then Luther, apparently he looked out and he concluded to himself that this was not helping matters either. And so he went back to preaching. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, why am I sharing this with you? Because I'm sharing this with you because the reality of the Christian walk is like what Luther experienced, like what Isaiah experienced, like what you may be experiencing, or what a loved one is experiencing. But the more important point is not even so much what are we seeking and what's our story about what we're seeking, but what is God seeking and who is God seeking and what is his story for us. Listen to these words from John chapter 1, verse 38. Jesus turned and saw these two guys following him, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabboni," rabbi, which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Why does Jesus ask this question? I think also in part Jesus asks this question because he wants to enter into a conversation with these disciples. Have you had a good conversation with Jesus lately? Have you taken time to just talk with him and share with him what it is that you're seeking? Because here's the thing I want to share with you today. Jesus wants to know what your hurts are. Jesus wants to know what your hopes are. Jesus wants to know what your have-nots are. What are the things that you do not have that you wish you had in this life? Jesus wants to know all of these things. He wants to hear from you, not because he doesn't already know. He wants to hear from you because he wants a personal relationship with you. And so I want to encourage you in your own personal relationships, in your marriages, with your daughters, with your sons, to have this conversation about talking with Jesus, about sharing with him and hearing from him what is it that we should be seeking in our relationship. Because he really does care, and he wants to provide for you. Listen to these words from our epistle reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 4 to 7. "I give thanks to my God always for you, because the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way," "in every way, you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge," listen to this, "so that you are not lacking in any gift." Jesus wants you to know that you are forgiven, that you are going to be fruitful, that you are of the family of faith, and that you are favored. I think it's very easy when we hear these words in Scripture to spiritualize them, to say, yes, 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 God wants me to have, he wants me to be equipped in every way, he wants me to have every good thing in spiritual matters, but not in earthly matters. But I want to encourage you to remember what we learned a long time ago in this little book. It used to be smaller, called the Small Catechism. In the Small Catechism, one of the things that we study is the Lord's Prayer. And one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our" what? "Our daily bread." And then, so then, as good Christians, we ask ourselves, so what does this mean? What is meant by daily bread? I thought gluten. No, I'm just joking. So what is daily bread? Listen to this. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout spouse, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. If you want to talk to God about that little red wagon you wish you'd gotten as a kid, go ahead and talk to him about it. That's covered under daily bread. Amen? This is the love of your Father for you. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. Listen to these words, John chapter 1, 31. This is John the Baptist. "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." Now, isn't that interesting? How is it that Jesus gets revealed to Israel? In the waters of, starts with a B. We pass the font every time we come into this sanctuary. Jesus is revealed to the people of Israel in the waters of baptism. That's exactly right. Isn't that interesting? And that's exactly how Jesus got revealed to a lot of you first, was in the waters of baptism. That's exactly right. And what does it mean to be revealed, except that it was not known before? And so it's God who acts in the sacraments. It's God who acts in the sacrament of baptism. It's God who acts in the sacrament of communion. It's God who acts to give us his grace, and he gives us his grace through reliable means, such as word and the water. He reveals his son. He reveals himself. We are adopted. We are saved. We are sanctified, and we are set apart to go on this mission with him, which leads me to our mission statement, which we have a wonderful mission statement as a church, that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things, right? Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. Listen to this one last verse from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Wow. Isaiah feels so bad because he's worked so hard. And he feels he has nothing to show for it. And so God looks upon Isaiah. And God says to Isaiah these words: "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. No, I will make you as a light for the nations, in order that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth." We as a congregation are blessed when we seek after what God is seeking. And what God is seeking is nothing less than the salvation of the world. God does not delight in the destruction of the wicked. And in this small church, which is by his grace growing numerically, we are a part of that. We get to be a part of sharing the gospel in Gary, Indiana. We get to be a part of sharing the gospel with our partnership at San Pablo in Aurora. We get to be a part of sharing the gospel through a four-legged dog named Asher, who gets 30 invitations every month to go and to bless people. We get to be a part of sharing the gospel at the James Lovell VA Center. There are so many ways that we are blessed to be seeking after what God is seeking. I don't know how many of you use Facebook, but I want to encourage you, if you use Facebook, to go to the Lake Forest Police Department Facebook page. You know I'm their volunteer chaplain. And if you go to the Lake Forest Police Department Facebook page, you're going to see a really nice article that they wrote up about me going down to the South Pole. And in that article, they say, "The Reverend James Buckman, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church here in Lake Forest." And they go on to talk about that. And about the work that I got to do down in the South Pole. It went on the web yesterday, and when I checked yesterday afternoon, it already had 76 likes, and it had many wonderful comments, almost all of whom were by people not members of this church. And so you have people going to a public Facebook page by a public entity, which is proclaiming the good that this congregation is doing. One of the people who commented on the Facebook page was Chris Stride, sister. And in her comment, she said, "My brother Chris and his wife are members of Faith Lutheran Church, and they love it, and they love their pastor." And what a beautiful thing for anybody to see who's just out there looking, that on a police department Facebook page of all places, here would be Faith Lutheran Church being lifted up. That's what you get to be a part of. That's what I get to be a part of. People desire to be part of something bigger than themselves. And there is nothing bigger than yourself than God. And so I want to encourage you as we get started with 2020, which I think is going to be a great year for this church, I really do, to ask yourself, what are you seeking? "Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts, all of our minds in Christ Jesus."